Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I'm Howard Feldman, and we're continuing to cover the story about how Israel takes the next steps. And it's interesting because I'm monitoring my own response to this. And to some extent, I'm just pleased that there seems to be a plan, that there does seem to be the steps. Whether they're the right steps or the wrong steps, well, who knows? Nobody really knows how it's going to play out. I also, as I mentioned, don't really understand what the fuss is about. You know, we've been taught to have a Pavlovian response to the word occupation. But at the same time, what was it that Hamas was doing on October the 7th? It was exactly that. Germany, after the war, needed to be occupied in order to clear out the structures that the Nazis had set in place. Why should Gaza be any different? And should it have been? Was it a mistake not to have taken over the full civil services and the running of Gaza in the first place? I'm not sure. But the question is, where to from here? Will Hamas see this as being much more significant? And is that likely to bring a deal? Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch, he's from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, the former director of the military prosecutions for Judea and Samaria. Very good morning. Thank you for joining us once again. How are you?
Good morning. Great, thank you. We're in the beautiful sunshine of Jerusalem, and its surroundings. Hoping for a new day of changes and developments.
So, do you think there's a chance that this initiative, which obviously has resulted in a mass amount of reservists being called up, potentially taking over significant parts of Gaza, does this have the ability to bring the change that is required?
So Howard, what we really need to look at is whether we have the ability to really vanquish Hamas, to achieve the goals that we set out at the start of the war, which was to destroy Hamas's military capabilities, to destroy Hamas's governance capabilities, and to return the hostages. So far, what we've seen really in the last 19 months is really the effort to destroy Hamas's military capabilities. Now what we're seeing on the ground are really skirmishes rather than any type of consistent fighting from Hamas. And the understanding is that we've really done quite a great deal towards achieving that goal. At the same time, breaking Hamas's civil administration governance has been somewhat hindered, really because we've allowed Hamas to be the recipient of the humanitarian aid and to continue giving out the humanitarian aid, and to really present itself as the organization, the group, the system that's feeding the Gazans. And so something in that had to change. And that's, I think, what we're seeing really in the last month and a half, 2 months, with the whole idea of Israel taking more responsibility for the division of the humanitarian aid as it comes in, rather than allowing Hamas to give out the aid and really to make money from selling the aid that they got for free, allowing them to really refill their coffers. And then finally, there's this idea of, since Hamas has not agreed and probably will never agree to release all of the hostages at any stage, there is a necessity now to really ratchet up the military movement on the ground, the military operations, and to push them into a final corner where they understand that they have no choice but to surrender and to release the hostages. That's, I think, really the pincer movement, if we can describe it, that's going on at the moment between military operations on the ground, from the air, together with the change in the manner in which Israel hands out the humanitarian aid, with the hope of getting to those final goals.
Was it a mistake for Israel not to have done this before?
Without question. I think in November 2023, we at the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, together with our partners in the IDSF, wrote a plan for Gaza on the day after. And one of the fundamental requirements that we stipulated there was that Israel take control over the really the distribution of the humanitarian aid, citing exactly the reasons that I just gave now, that the aid, if it continues to flowing through Hamas, will embolden the organization, will keep it in its governance position, will allow it to continue on functioning. And that was something which really should have changed a very long time ago. We had, I fear, considerable hindrance from the side of the Biden administration on all different subjects, but really predominantly also on the subject of the humanitarian aid. And so it wasn't necessarily something which we could do by ourselves. We saw that failed $350 million effort by the U.S. to build the floating port, which lasted about a day and a half.
I was thinking about that floating port. What a waste of ideas. What a waste of time and energy.
Without question, if they'd taken that money. And said to the Gazans, you know what, we'll give it out as a reward for anyone who brings a hostage back, we would have seen an end to this war a very, very long time ago, rather than really just throwing that money into the sea.
Mm. The fact that there are some Israeli politicians, Smotrich, talking about the occupation of Gaza in the way that they are, does that do damage, number one? And secondly, is there a way to control this type of dialogue? Because it really doesn't serve anyone, I don't think.
I think what everybody has to understand, where terminology can sometimes be somewhat pejorative, and the word occupation isn't necessarily something which in and of itself is bad, but really it's been attributed that negative connotation when it comes to Israel and Judea and Samaria and to Gaza. But really, occupation is the only option that there is in Gaza at the moment. It doesn't necessarily have to be an occupation that's solely run by Israel. There can be, as we also suggested back in that plan in November 2023, that really the rehabilitation of Gaza be divided up and be made into an international effort. One of the fundamentals, and you mentioned it really in your opening statements, Howard, one of the fundamentals is that the education system, like it was changed in Nazi Germany, the education system in Gaza cannot remain in the hands of any Palestinian actor, not Hamas and not the Palestinian Authority. That's the education that gave us and brought us the October 7 massacre, and that needs to be fundamentally changed. And so this connotation of occupation, whilst it may seem something which is negative, really is the only way forward to rehabilitate Gaza, to rebuild Gaza, to really to implement also, and without expressing any really shame on the matter, to implement the Trump vision that we allow the Gazans who are allegedly living in a demolition site with tens of thousands of unexploded ordnances and in a situation of mass poverty and unemployment with no homes, to allow those Gazans the rights that every other refugee fleeing a war situation has, and that is to leave Gaza and to settle in other places, albeit temporarily until Gaza is rebuilt. But that's something that has to be done also along the way.
That is where we leave it. Thank you, as always, Lieutenant Colonel Morris Hirsch. He's from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, former director of the Military Prosecutions for Judea and Samaria.